The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to The Keeper and Curry right here on Tony Curry Radio, one of our most listened to shows. It's probably because I do so much with this guy. We just had Need to Know on, and you can listen to that show, of course, 5 days a week, just like this one. Not to mention the starting lineup on ABC 3340 Championship Weekend coming up here this weekend. We're looking forward to that. We're going to have special guests in the it's going to be great. Rivalry weekend, because there were some teams that actually played in different conferences. I mean, we had like the Washington, we had the Apple Cup, we had some earlier games in the year as opposed to having all of them on the same weekend like we normally do. But there were some great games, of course, NC State, North Carolina, Ohio State, Michigan, Auburn, Alabama. But there wasn't one, not two, not four, not six, but eight different fights. In eight different games, A&M, Texas, Notre Dame, USC, Auburn, Alabama, Arizona, Missouri, or Arkansas, Missouri, Florida, FSU, Arizona State, Arizona, NC State, North Carolina, and of course, that used one of these pepper spray at Michigan and Ohio State. And the majority of those things had something to do with someone trying to plant something on the middle of the field. Now college football is coming out saying we may have to make a new rule that says, hey, listen, this is not cool. I know Steve Sarkisian actually talked to his team before the game and said, listen, if we win the game, let's just get we win the game. If you're winning on the field, that's enough. We don't need to plant our flag anywhere. Let's get the hell out of there.
Don't need to go stomp the logo.
Exactly. Don't. Yeah, exactly.
Idiot stuff. And did you see, Tony, after the Texas A&M game, I guess I give the authorities in college Station who had watched this go on all day after the game, when the players were running off the field, there was about 50 security guys in a big circle around the logo on the middle of the field because they were not going to let any of that escalate. And I guess that's forward thinking, but it's a pretty sad statement that we're guarding the logo at the middle of the field. That's the big obsession right now.
Nine different agencies involved in the Michigan Ohio State fight, which is, I couldn't think of nine different agencies here in Birmingham to get involved in a college football game. That should just go to tell you how much people hate each other. So I'm sitting there watching it with my son. And of course we love fights. I mean, that's one of the reasons people love hockey, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I asked him,
I went to a fight in a hockey game.
Exactly. And I asked him, I said, do you like that? And my son said, yeah, I love it. I love it. I said, I do too. I said, that's what makes rivalries great. When you've got a 6-5 team playing a 9-3 team, and you have two teams that are just playing for the rivalry itself. I love to see that. And I don't think it's show, you're waiting all year to play this one game. As long as you win that one game, it doesn't matter whether you lose the other 10 or 11 games, as long as you win that rivalry game. As everyone told me when I came first came to town in 1988, if Auburn goes 1-11, but that one wins the Iron Bowl, no one cares. They just want to say, hey, we've stuck it in your face. But then I'm watching the game afterwards and I see Hugh Freeze come up and give Jalen Milroe a huge hug, a kiss on the cheek, and he's talking to him. And I like sportsmanship too. So I'm trying to decide what part of this is wrong, what part of this is right. Is it, we live in a world where, listen, if I can't imagine, I've told my son, I said, I can't imagine being 18 years old and for 60 minutes playing against the same guy. And sometimes he's whipping my ass and sometimes I'm whipping his ass. And I mean, you're doing everything. You're wrestling. You're basically wrestling. You're wrestling a guy for 60 minutes. For 3 hours, you're wrestling a guy. You're holding him. You're grabbing him. You're sticking your hand in his face. You're yelling at him. You're screaming at him. You're trash talking. I'm surprised there's not more fights. And I'm not surprised there's not a lot more fights actually during the game. What are your thoughts?
Trash talking is not a new thing. You've met my friend Mark Random, who was a wingback on when I was in high school, back in the Fred Flintstone days. We had the cars with the rocks for wheels and things and used our feet to propel it. But anyway, we played Lakeside, who was one of the top programs in the entire state. They had a guy named Rusty Moore, who was the middle linebacker, already committed to Georgia Tech, and that's when recruiting wasn't even emphasized. But this guy was like a megastar. But this was, Tony, the prototypical player that, just he was moving his feet and reading the play and then going like a guided missile and stuffing runs and such. But our coaches, who were totally inept, did notice in the film that he never was really aware. He was so focused on the background and the quarterback that they thought And back then, God love football, you could have what was called the crackback block, mm-hmm. which of course now is illegal. Yep. But Random, as the wingback for our team, split out wide. The first play of the game, he takes one step and then makes a beeline straight down the middle, right behind the line of scrimmage to Rusty Moore, who's moving parallel, watching the backfield, and just cracks his ass completely blind right in the rib cage and knocked him down. And as he laid there, Random, the you can take a boy out of Chamblee, Georgia, but you can't take Chamblee, Georgia out of the boy. Random stands over him and saying, "Get it used to it, pal. You're going to be laying there on your ass all night long." And he's pointing at him and he's talking trash.
I love it.
And we have to pull him off to keep him from getting flagged, because that was before they would throw flags for, you know, trash talking. And so two plays later, they do the same thing and he knocks him down again. And this time he's like straddling him, yelling at him. And Moore was actually shaken up for a little bit and came out of the game. Well, the Lakeside players were so incensed that Random had done that. And this is, you know, before you really had that kind of atmosphere. And I'm surprised you made a good statement a minute ago. I'm surprised that it's not more prevalent, because that's the kind of wars you get into. You get into this talking stuff, all this territorial nonsense. Anyway, Random later catches a swing pass and's trying to run up the field, and the entire Lakeside defense sees it, number 44. And Tony, it was like a swarm of bees right on his butt. and Random finally, for self-preservation, kind of turns right and goes right out of bounds, trying to get away from them. And they keep chasing him and actually clobber him into the old stadiums had like track and field stuff. Yeah. There was like a path to run pole vault.
Yeah.
And it was concrete. So they hit him so hard that when he comes up and 10 of them are on top of him, his face mask is shattered. They're worried he's got a concussion. So they got him back. And of course, after the game, we're at our hangout and Random has gone home because he's got headaches. He's not feeling very well. And this truck pulls up and all these guys jump out. It's all these guys from Lakeside. The school is like 30 miles away, but we're looking for Mark Random.
Wow.
So they're coming to kick his ass again. And so that was in 1970. So obviously there is a lot of things that have carried over, but your point is absolutely right. It's just a trash talking war, especially with the linemen, the big uglies, player in Mortal Kombat. So your point is well taken.
You talk about the crackback, one of my favorite plays. And I didn't even realize this until I started doing sports radio back in the 90s was the chip. And Jay was like, "Oh man, chip, dude. We used to just run through the line." He said, "If there was some guy getting the best of us, man, we would just take an elbow and just jam it." And I've actually watched NFL games and college games too, just to watch the chipping at the line where guys will take their elbows and just, because there's no padding there. There's no padding on the right side or the left side of your abdomen. And they just chip and just admit it'll make you think twice about running through some certain holes, particularly after you do that. So it's weird because I don't ever remember, and at least according to ESPN, there have never been that many me fights on one day ever in college football. I think we've maybe seen three and four. I'm trying not to make this a societal thing. I don't think this is a cultural thing. I don't think this says anything about life as we're living. I don't think this. Some people are saying, "Well, it's because we're all on edge now, people don't care." It's a bunch of hooey, and it just so happens you got 16 teams and everyone hates each other, and it just so happens in that particular day. And I also don't think it's a copycat thing too. Some people are actually saying that some of the guys are watching earlier games and they decided they were going to go start fights afterwards. Couple things I think are interesting. First of all, I'm all about keeping it on the field, and what happens on the field is sacred. And I don't like when we get the legal part of it involved right now. And I don't know if there's anything going on I don't think anyone got hurt or injured in any of these fights, but, and again, they got padding on and helmets and everything else. Another reason.
Yeah. A football fight is stupid to start with. You got a helmet on.
Hell, at least, you know, in hockey, they take their helmets off. I mean, they beat the shit out of each other.
When I started watching hockey, years ago, a lot of players refused to wear helmets. They didn't make those mandatory till just, and goalies still had, there were still a couple goalies, Gump Worsley for the Minnesota North Stars. I saw a game in like 1978. That idiot was out there without a mask on playing goal.
I love it. There are some bad mofos,
man. Now he was butt ugly, so I guess he figured he had nothing to lose. He's a little short, fat guy, Gump Worsley. Look him up. Watch some video of him playing without a mask. What a moron.
When I first came to town, I was dating a girl. She moved here with me, and then we broke up, and I started dating a woman. And it was when the first incarnation of the Birmingham Bulls was here, and there was a particular player. I'm not going to say his name, but everyone probably knew who he was. Anyway, I pull up one afternoon to surprise my girlfriend, just to stop by, whatever, and I see him walking out of her apartment.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, hey, whoa, hey, hey. And so he goes to his car, and he doesn't know who I am. And so I walk in, and I knock on the door, and I said, hey, I said, I just noticed that so-and-so was just leaving your apartment. She goes, oh, yeah, he's dating my roommate. And I said, oh, really? And I said, I didn't know you had a roommate. She goes, well, she just moved in yesterday. I said, really? And I come to find out they had this thing going on for like 4 or 5 months. I said, you know what? I can't compete with that. The dude had no teeth. I mean, he had long hair. I was like, you know what? If that's what you're into, man. I said, I'm not going to compete with that. And she's
telling you, we had that experience with the Atlanta Flames, the original team in Atlanta. Two of the girls in our inner circle ended up marrying Atlanta Flames.
They're badass, just, man.
They just swooped right in and took them away.
So how do
Canadians? We need to have a war with Canada. No. South Park was right.
Get Trudeau down here. Let's kick his ass.
So, blame Canada.
What do we do? Because now we're gonna be having all these people have these rules that they shouldn't have fighting. And the way I look at it is, you know, you want to have the hit. You saw the hit on Trevor Lawrence yesterday, which I didn't think was a bad hit. The rest of the team, obviously, they were looking after his quarterback. Trevor had been on injured reserve, and so he comes back yesterday. And obviously, he makes that team for Jacksonville. And he's in the midst of going down, look like a slide. And usually he does slide. You can look at the tendencies of particular quarterbacks. He usually slides. And you know, he didn't want to get further injured. And he got his head knocked off. And I certainly understand that. And I understand that in baseball, where you throw a baseball at someone's head and both sides come out. But I think that's part of sports. And I think it's a great part. I think it's wonderful. I'd hate to see it land.
Yeah. I mean, the last thing we need, and I just railed on need to know for 40 minutes about eliminating bureaucracy and people writing regulations and telling everybody how they need to live their lives. There's got to be some control. I mean, there's too many retired players who had serious head injuries because we just ignored it. I was talking about my football lack of career, but the helmets we had even back then were just a disgrace. I mean, they just had started to put some foam and some different things in helmets. But when I first played in the eighth grade, Tony, I swear, the helmet was just straps on the top. There was no padding at all. No wonder people had these catastrophic concussions and things. So you have to have some degree of player safety. But if you get to where you're regulating everything and putting, we already have, and you've heard me rail on all of our programs and all of my other media outlets about this whole idea, this obsession that the team of officials on the field are just as important to the determination of the outcome of the game as the players. You're getting over the line already of not just letting these guys go out and common sense wise make interpretive calls of what they see and identifying fouls. Now they're being told by league offices and bureaucrats, you need to really crack down on this A, B, and C. And they're being programmed like robots to go out and look for violations and making calls that are slowing down the game. And I think at some point it's going to kill the golden goose. people are going to get tired of that. Let the players play. That's what they're out for. If you're a football player, Tony, and our hockey player, you know the risk. Yep. If you're going full speed and you're running into huge guys, there's a good chance you're going to get hurt sometime. I mean, but these are not delicate flowers. These are guys that have made that decision. And you've heard NFL players too, that had been affected. Jim McMahon, the quarterback of that famous Bears team in 1986, who won the Super Bowl. Jim McMahon has had all kinds of concussion follow-up problems and things. But he says it right when anybody's feeling sorry for him, hey, I wouldn't trade 1 minute of my football career. You know, I'm dealing with this now and it sucks, but you know what? I would do it all over again. And that's how most guys feel. And you've got to give people the individual liberty. That's what this country is founded on, that you can't make a mamby-pamby and try to protect them all the time. They're making a conscious choice to be out there.
Now, you're talking about great quarterbacks. I remember Jim Kelly. He was the Josh Allen of our time. That guy,
that guy,
and you want to talk about a guy, obviously, it's more than just head hits for him, but you want to talk about a guy who went to 4 straight Super Bowls and would run into anything. The guy never ran off the football field, and his football players loved him for it. That's why he's a Hall of Famer. It's funny because Major League Baseball did this thing where they're obviously having a pitch clock and people thought it was going to work. And I thought, I'm a kind of a purist. I was like, come on, you know, I mean, the longer the baseball game is, the better. I'm getting more for my money, this, that, and the other. And let's be honest, man, there's nothing like a 2-1, 4-hour game's not particularly always fun, particularly if you got screaming kids. They cut roughly 35, 36 minutes off the last couple of years. And I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. It used to be a game would start at 1 o'clock and I would get home at 4 and it would still be in the sixth inning. And I'd be going, you know, and now if a game starts at 1 o'clock and you get home at 3:30, the damn thing's over. I mean, it's over. And I think the sport is better for it. That's the other thing about college football. This goes beyond fighting. And we can do another whole new show on instant replay. This instant replay thing has gotten out of control. It's got out of hand. If you want to give everyone 6 or 5 different challenges, so be it. But when they're sitting there looking at every single play, every single game, and the game's just finally getting a flow to it, and all of a sudden you see a guy make a great catch, and they're like, yeah, we got to stop. And they're stopping for 3 minutes on a 2nd and 3 to see if the guy actually caught the football for 7 yards. It wears my ass out. College football, it's rolling. The Iron Bowl was 4 hours long. It's great. I'm more college football, the better. But I like the flow of the game. I like a good flow, and I do like. I like when players play. I love when the pass interference calls. I hate them. I love when they're bickering. I think the better player is going to catch the football. I see it all the time. I totally agree with you from the standpoint that when you see that stuff overflow, it's probably time to say, hey, listen, we got to settle it down. The funny thing is we got this thing that goes on every single year, this Auburn Alabama flag football game that goes on. It was originally set up, I think, by Bo Jackson for the Tornadoes back in Tuscaloosa years ago. And they raise money. And you got these guys that used to beat the hell out of each other that are best friends. And they've always been good friends. Antonio Langham, mm-hmm. who, by the way, I've reached out. I reached out to Antonio. I saw him on television. There was a special about the first SEC championship game. And they were talking about the Miami game in 92. And he was on television on ESPN yesterday. And I thought, man, I need to call him and get him on the starting lineup. He's a great interview and just really funny, a funny guy. And he just talks about, you know, he's so easy, even keel and easy going, and just talks about how much he hated the Auburn players. I mean, every single one of them, and basically was instilled in his life. He's like, you're only here for 2, 3, 4 years. You need to play your entire life for this game. Gene Stallings got up to him, grabbed him on the face mask and said, I need you to make a play. And of course he did that in the championship game. Didn't count because there was a flag on the play, but it did nullify a really long play, which is one of the most amazing interceptions you'll ever see, or steals, if you want to call it that. I think it's a weekend, and I'll just be basically getting on the internet and everyone's talking about all the fights. It's all over the place. It's the number one story on ESPN. It's the number one thing everyone's talking about on Get Up and everything else. I think sometimes it just happens. Now I will say this, and I think one of the reasons a lot of people are afraid of that is because they think it's going to go into the stands. And we've had that too. We saw that for the first year after COVID, everyone was kicking each other's ass in the stands. People were not used to being around people again. We didn't handle that very well, but let the football players fight it out, man.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. For crying Ryan Day, This cannot beat Michigan. This is the greatest thing that could have possibly happened to him, because nobody's talking about the fact that number two Ohio State, a 21-point favorite against their hated rival Michigan, falls on their freaking face, Tony. You know, what an interesting example of college football 2024. On Saturday, when Will Howard, the quarterback that they brought in to replace Kyle McCord, who played last year for Ohio State and played every snap, was the quarterback. People, the fans in Ohio, the sentiment there was Kyle McCord sucks. We need to get rid of him, get somebody else. So Kyle McCord said, okay, fine, I'll transfer and get out of here since you guys hate me so much. While Will Howard was putting up 10 points against Michigan, a 21-point underdog, Kyle McCord playing for Syracuse lit Miami, the number six team, ass up and led Syracuse. He threw for almost 400 yards. And what a perfect example of college football 2024 that was, when the kid that they literally ran out of town at the same time that was going on was also changing the landscape by lighting up the scoreboard for a much lesser program. It's the perfect example.
We see that a lot, man. I mean, you're seeing, and that's one of the reasons. I mean, I'm starting to fall in love with the transfer portal. I love finding out where these guys are coming from, because all of a sudden your starter's off and there's got this guy. I mean, you can look at Jalen Hurts, who went to Oklahoma after he left Alabama. Who in the hell would, you know, he gets benched, you know, halfway through the national championship game, and Tua comes in and wins the game. And next thing you know, he's moving on to Oklahoma. And now he's, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. I love the transfer portal for that main reason. And Coach Ryan Day, not Ohio State fan. My brother went there. My sister went there. And so I get texts back and forth, you know, saying, oh, it's too bad Bama's not going to make the playoffs this year. And I said, well, it's too bad you lost for the fourth and fifth time.
Yeah,
fourth time in a row.
He's one and still make it.
One and four against Michigan and 47-1 against every other team in the Big Ten.
Yeah,
I don't know what
a stat.
That really is. All right, my man. Hey, go do your thing. I'll look forward to seeing you again. The starting lineup coming up this Saturday morning from 10:30, 11 o'clock. It is championship weekend.
Championship Saturday. One quick thing about that, Tony. How, again, the new landscape, do you realize all four major conference championship games have a new team in the league in their first year as one of the participants? Oregon is playing in the Big Ten, Texas in the SEC, Arizona State in the Big 12, and SMU, who had to buy their way in the ACC. SMU has agreed for 7 years not to get a dime of any of revenue sharing from the ACC. That's how desperate they were to get out of the American Athletic Conference and get into the ACC, and the Mustangs will be playing for a college football playoff berth. Four new teams in all four Power Conference championships. Another statement of football 2024.
And what would that say about SMU if they can handle Clemson, who backed into that thing after losing to South Carolina? Another team that has outside hopes of perhaps playing for a national title as well. It's going to be a wild weekend, my friend. I can't wait to work with you.
I can't wait, too. It's going to be fun. Starting lineup 10:30 Saturday, ABC 3340.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.